Hi, Michelle. Hi, Imbal.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi, Penny. Hey, Michelle. Anne.
Hello.
How's everybody doing? Yeah, good.
Man. I got brought lunch.
Oh, yay. And Val
Right to
just
my
wrote me
desk.
privately that somebody new stepped into sacred depths. Yay.
I'm making breakfast. Yeah, I might have to turn off my camera too.
Coffee. Oh, I
Hi.
can't hear you. Is it
Oh.
because of me?
No. Let's see. Can you hear me? Can anyone else hear me? I can hear you, Kelsey.
Uh-oh, I can't
Oh,
hear you.
okay.
Wait. I am having such technology problems. Oh no.
Did anybody watch the lunar eclipse last night?
Couldn't see it. You could see it from your side of the States, not from the East Coast. I heard
Yeah.
it
Was it
was
amazing?
It was amazing. I got up and went outside from 3:30 to 4:30 in the morning. I watched the whole thing. It was incredible. Wow. Was it
Yeah.
red?
It was like, yeah, not red, but kind of orangish. Only once it got, fully covered. And there was even in California just a tiny slit that never got, covered. But
Mm.
it was just watching the eclipse happen was the coolest part.
That's
Yeah, it was cool.
amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, I was jealous because I was reading yesterday that we wouldn't be able to see it on the East Coast, really, but West Coast got really great views. Okay, let's get started. Let's take a moment and get centered and settled and present. So, wherever you are, come into this space. Note the ground beneath you. And find your breath. And watch it. Using the breath to bring yourself here and present. Noticing how you're feeling today without judgment. Noticing where you're at. Noticing what thoughts have been occupying your mind. All without judgment, just for awareness, for knowing. And then placing a hand on your heart and connecting in with your heart. Honoring yourself for all of who you are. Honoring all of your experience, all of it. And together we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open. Bringing yourself fully present. So I'd love to hear just briefly, this is an opportunity for you to put down a sentence or two how you are, right? Sometimes we just don't even ask ourselves, how am I today? So take a moment, and even just first for yourself, write down, how are you today? How are you today? However you are, embrace it. Just be with it. Allow it. Even honor it, if that's possible. I'd love to hear in the chat, how are you? Anne is feeling pretty okay, good, clear-headed, even though sleep is messed up, getting into some new rhythms, good. Kelsey is a little tired from being up last night, but for good reason, and energized and grounded. Who else? How are you? And what's it like to just kind of name this? This is how I am, and be with it. What are your thoughts on that too? Tammy, although it feels like a big energy day for me, I'm really in it and working in it, and it feels good. Good. It's great. And while I feel okay, less anxious than earlier this week around my deadline. Maybe more purposeful or focused than even yesterday. Penny, getting resettled at home after being away for 5 days when my house is a mess, needing to be put away. Yeah, it's calling you, but you're happy to be here. Are you all seeing a little bit what I'm seeing? Well, let me ask you, why is this important? That, I'm just making a little point of it, but how is this helpful for yourself? And when you think about your client work, just this, how are you, Kelsey?
It's important because if I'm not first present with myself, and really for me, there's like a self-compassionate piece of like just honoring, accepting, and allowing whatever is here. It's a lot harder to be in that energy for somebody else.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm glad you're bringing this into the conversation. It's like how often, and I do this myself too, I just rush into a session with a client or a group call or whatever it is. And I haven't even located myself. right? And we're all really good practitioners here. And so we can all still hold the space from that place and we can get through it, probably, you know, still doing better than most people out there, right? But what's the difference between that and really having located ourselves and honored that and accepted it and then gone into the session or the group, right? Yeah. So subtle, but the impact, it's so different.
It's huge. I've often, now I do it pretty regularly. This is, you know, just maybe if this is a help for anyone else, is I do that grounding thing at the beginning of every coaching call, because my client is very much like that, like going. So I do it for them, right? This is for you, but I do it for me too. And then I'm doing it with them and for them and I'm modeling it, but it totally, if I don't remember to take the time before, which I mostly don't, I do it at the beginning of calls just like this. And it's so powerful.
Yeah, that is the bonus of doing it, right? Yeah. One-on-one or group, is that it gives us a moment to locate ourselves. Good. What else? What else about this feels important, or what are you seeing? Yeah, involves saying, that's how she starts all of her sessions. Anything else wants to be said on this? Penny?
Yeah, I think that it also, when I know where I'm at, then I also know where I might be off or where certain blocks are, so I can actually pay attention to that and be present to what's contributing to how I'm hearing things and what's going on.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. It's when we can kind of locate how we are, we can also locate where things are off, right? We can see in a different way, as opposed to it just being this big kind of chaotic, you know, right? Good, bad, whatever it is, right? So for ourselves, and then also for our clients, right? And it's not that we have to ask our clients at the beginning of every call, how are you, you know, or, right? But as we're listening, as we're setting in, our clients are setting intentions, as we're listening to what they're saying, whatever their context is, we want to be listening also to, you know, between the lines, or ask, like, where are they? How are they? Right. Okay, good.
That's actually interesting, though, that asking, how are they? I was just thinking that it's actually, you have to train people in a way to answer that different than the usual social, how are you? And that's interesting.
100%. I find myself all the time in conversations, like I'll say, how are you? And then I'll say, wait, I know that that's a loaded question, you know, like, something like that. And then I will say, like, how are you? Right. Like to emphasize, I actually want to know, and I'm not just saying it. Okay, good. So a little thing to think about as we move through our days for ourselves and for our clients. We've got practicum time today, and I wanted for us, I thought it would be a good time for those of you that have been through Sacred Depths to swing back to our visioning skills. And for us to kind of go a little bit deeper today, in Sacred Depths, we look at visioning kind of like on the, I don't want to say on the surface, nothing that we look in at Sacred Depths is on the surface, but we kind of like in that more intellectual, cognitive level way of visioning. I thought it would be valuable for us to dip into more visualization and somatic ways of visioning today or practice for that. You all already actually know how to do this, but maybe you may or may not be bringing it into your session. So it's an opportunity for you to experiment, see what you already know, find some of your style and nuances in all of it. But as a little bit, tiny, tiny little refresher, well, let me ask you, what do you remember about visioning, foundations of visioning? Why is visioning important? Why do we want to do it as sacred depths practitioners? What are some of the things that we want to be thinking about? I think I mentioned to all of you in our next cycle of sacred depths, we're starting to institute quizzes after every module. You all lucked out of that. So here's one of your quizzes, open-ended quiz. What do you remember about visioning?
I'm generally drawing a blank. So I'm really into this topic because it's coming up with a couple of clients. But one thing I remember is, after like going through a vision, or if it's something that like they work on, you know, what's actually a desire, like a deep desire, and what is a should?
Yes, yes, you remembered. Exactly. That's one of the foundational pieces, right? When we're supporting clients to vision, whether it's a big, like a big vision, or even what's going to happen in the meeting later today, or the enrollment conversation, or, you know, whatever it is. Because so many of us have been trained to operate from shoulds, and we end up so often, if we're not on top of it, and you just give me a thumbs up if you see this for yourself, like even for those of us that are practitioners that know this, if we're not on top of it, it's just so easy. The MO is to make decisions from shoulds versus desires, right? So when we're holding space for our clients, we want to really support them to vision and make decisions from that place of desire versus should. Good. Kelsey.
I was just going to add something sort of why division, like the why that I remember is like, if you don't have a shared vision, you don't know where you're going in the coaching, right? It's like the map. You could say, you don't know that you're going from California to New York. He's like, how do you get to New York? You have to know where you're going. And really having that vision be based on their values and like the, I don't know if I learned this in sacred debts or elsewhere, but it's like knowing how they want their life to feel, right? So there's like a vision that's like, how do I want to feel when I get there? So there's like a felt sense of it too.
Yes, 100%. So there's actually a couple of things in there that I want to pull out for us all to remember. Number one, it's hard to get where you're going if you don't know where you want to go, right? So that's number one. And, you know, there's subtleties to that too, right? And this is important. I think for Sacred Depths coaching, we're not like rah-rah, like you need to have the vision totally clear 100%, right? Like sometimes that's actually not realistic, but to support our clients each step of the way of getting clearer and clearer on what that vision is, right? So that's one thing that Kelsey was talking about. Number two, shared expectations of the vision between practitioner and client, so important. We don't ever want to assume what it is our client wants to go after, wants to execute, whether in the big picture of our coaching with them or that little picture of that meeting tomorrow that we're looking at in the session, right? So that those shared expectations. The third piece is how do you want it to feel? Not just where do you want to end up? Do you want to end up in New York, but how do you want to feel as you get there, right? So important, because too many people get to where they want to go with, force, with lack of self-compassion, with lack of fun, whatever it is, right? And then that relates to the values piece as well. what are my clients' values, right? Something that we really want to check in, or at least I do, like, I'm looking for values from the moment we have an enrollment conversation to the welcome packet to when we're visioning and throughout, so that I know, for example, if a client of mine is like, I want to do this, you know, new program, and it's going to be this, like all the things, and it sounds amazing, but I know that their life is already very full, and I know that they value space. It's not that I'm going to say don't do the program, right? But I'm going to bring that value into the conversation. Good. Penny.
Yeah. I often will ask people, you know, who's the man or woman that you want to be and become? And then look at that. And then also for me, it's about, as we're doing the visioning, it's also looking at what are the obstacles that, what do you think stands in your way of being that? So you can get at the limiting beliefs, the fears, the, how connected are they to the possibility of what they're creating?
Yes, 100%. So first of all, who do you want to be? Who are you becoming, right? That absolutely can be a great part of the vision. And then, yeah, I do also, you know, once you've kind of laid out the vision, to say, okay, you know, ask, looking at some obstacles, whether it's, okay, so what is the belief that you know that you hold right now that could potentially hold you back from executing this, right? And then what is it that you want to step into, but to tie that in. Awesome. Michelle is saying this always, I don't know that convert, I can't think of the conversation with the Cheshire cat. Michelle, can you tell us briefly?
Yeah, it's when Alice asks the cat which way to go, and he says, where do you want to go? Yeah. And she says, I don't know. He said, then it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm remembering that. Yes, I love that. All right. So anybody else want to say anything about visioning, or what you remember about visioning, or what you know is important about visioning or to think about? No. Okay. So going back to the difference between desires and shoulds, if visions are really, if the best visions are products of desire versus products of should, then they're very much related to our hearts. They're products of our hearts. And sometimes our minds can kind of get in the way of our hearts. Sometimes our minds and our hearts can work together, and sometimes our minds can get in the way of us kind of really being with our hearts. And that's why, not always, but it is nice to have in your back pocket, a tool for visioning via visualization, like a real kind of heart-centered visualizing exercise. So to do like a full visioning process can sometimes take a whole session. We don't have time for that. I want to model one, and then we'll see if we want to like have conversation or have each of you practice or how we're going to do it, but we'll do it kind of in a mini way, to get us started. So I'd love a volunteer, and let's do a little demo heart-centered vision. Who'd like to volunteer to be the client? Stephanie, awesome. Thank you for volunteering.
Yeah, happy I could join. Just full disclosure, I'm running on 4 hours of sleep. I almost didn't come today, but I'm glad I did. I feel like this is something I could use right now, actually.
Awesome. No sleep, just because, or eclipse, or
yeah maybe full moon. My daughter still comes in the bed at like 2 a.m. and then I'll help. Yeah, I just can't fall back to sleep afterwards. So yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Thanks. Sometimes visioning while tired can be even better. We'll see. Okay. So what's something that you would like to vision right now? It doesn't have to be huge, you know, but what's something that you're wanting to desire or create or shift right now?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of things are shifting in my business right now, as always, but like now in particular, this feels like a moment of, I took a big step back from a lot of things after April and have just been sort of like taking a lot of space throughout May, and have already started to make some shifts towards things. I've hired someone to help me with my product line. I'm essentially going to be splitting my whole business into two, which has been wanting to happen for a really long time, which is really exciting. I feel like that opens up all this potential for both that was sort of like latent in there because it was just like too much smushed into a little ball. So I guess I'm sort of like still in the process of visioning, like, what is this new iteration of my work going to look like either or like both of these sides of my business.
Mm-hmm. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
And just want to honor you for finally making the decision and moving forward with it. I know it's something that you've kind of been holding for a while and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
So if we were, I don't know that we'll get to all of it, but if we were to start to look at like one of the sides, which would it be? Or I don't even want to only make it a choice between that, but if there was like the next step that we were going to vision here, what would it be?
Yeah. Let me think about that for a second. I feel like the product side of my work could use some visioning. I feel like I have a lot of sort of like nerves around what's happening and bringing someone in and like don't really know what to expect or what to plan for or what it's even going to look like in 4 months or 5 months. So I feel like focusing on that end would be probably the most useful.
Awesome. Okay, great. So we'll do this in visualization form and see how it goes. Okay. Is it okay to close your eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So you can close your eyes and come into your body. And when it comes to the product side of your business, feel into your body. What are the feelings and the energies? What are the energies that the product side of your business wants to hold? What kind of energies does the product side of your business want to hold?
I feel like, well, there's sort of the energy that it is holding now and what it wants to hold, and those feel different. So you want me to like,
what does it want to
what
hold?
What does it want?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting sort of an energy of it's hard to describe. I'm getting like images.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. So share some of the images.
Yeah. So I'm imagining sort of the kitchen where I'm working and like imagining having like other people there with me and sort of like it's shifting away from where it is now, which I'm trying not to like get sucked back into, but like there's a sort of excited, bubbly, like conversational, creative energy mm-hmm. between the folks who were there.
Yeah. Tell me if I'm getting this right. It feels like also community.
Yeah. Yeah, like connection.
Okay, beautiful. So you're doing great. Connect into those energies of connection, that bubbly excitement, that creativity in communication. Really feel those feelings in your body. And from that place, what are some of the bedrocks that you see in this new business?
What do you mean by bedrocks?
Really anything. What are you seeing when you come from this energy of excitement and creativity, the bubbly, the connection? So there's people around the kitchen. Mm-hmm. What else are you seeing?
There is, I just feel like everything's like running smoothly. Like things are able to happen without snags. Mm-hmm. Like things are being made, it's flowing, it's happening efficiently. It's not taking all freaking day to do one thing. And so there's sort of like the initial, like the products that are already there, like those aren't going anywhere necessarily. And there's also this like time and space for like daydreaming new things and like time set aside for like, just like play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk more about the play.
It's reminding me of like when I first started my business and I had like a gazillion ideas for all the different things that were possible. And it's like, and like, I would talk to other folks about it in the dispensary where I worked. And, yeah, it was just a sense of possibility. Like, yeah, we could literally do anything. And like, yeah, just like staying open, staying open to that.
What are some practices that you see that will allow for this sense of play and this openness? What does your business hold that allows for that, or your day hold that allows for that?
The word spaciousness keeps coming up, mm-hmm. of like, and thinking of practices and bedrocks, like imagining like arriving at the space and like not even just launching right in, but like having a moment for like check-in mm-hmm. with whoever else is there, and having that spaciousness before like just going into work, and then space for conversation. Like as things are happening and like each person has like a flow that they're in, that they're doing it, but they also are able to be engaged, and there's like ideas just percolating. Yeah, because yeah. Because of that flow and spaciousness keep coming up. Yeah. And then even like whole time set aside, which don't even have to be in that particular space, but like regular space set aside just for sort of like retreat and daydreaming.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, good. So let me reflect back what I'm hearing and just take it into your body, take it in. So what I'm hearing is that in the product side of the business, there is a lot of spaciousness and flow and people around and excitement and creativity. And you start your day, not like hit the ground running in the space, but you come into the space with intentionality and there's time to check in and really set the day and the energy. And that allows for spaciousness throughout the day, as does each person being in flow. And you didn't say these words, so tell me if I'm getting this right, but what I'm hearing is like, there are some systems that are in place. Each person has their system, mm-hmm. and worked into that system, it's there so that there can be flow, but there's also space for them to interact, mm-hmm. and for ideas to come through. And in this business, on the calendar, there's some kind of regular or semi-regular retreat time, and brainstorming time as well. Am I getting all of that right?
Yeah, that sounds amazing and like the polar opposite of the way it is now.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's why we're doing this, right? Mm-hmm. To start to lean in. Anything else that's coming through right now as we're talking?
In terms of the vision?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know there is another piece that I wanted to reflect back. Sure. You've got your already established products, mm-hmm. but maybe some more systems for them. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is that there's also space for new products to come forward. Mm-hmm. Lean into that a little bit more. You know, we're not going to like kind of get into all of that right now, obviously, but just anything else in terms of the new products that you're seeing or feeling, just also as you continue to be in this spacious place, this excited energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something that has been coming as an idea to me, and like there's another part of me that wants to just shut it down immediately, but like this idea that this could evolve into almost like a cooperative type structure of like, this is not just me and like my ideas and my products, but it's like a place where people, like multiple people, can come together and have like a structure within which to like develop their ideas, because it's so hard for people to do this on their own.
Yeah.
All of the paperwork, the insurance, and like to have something to just sort of plug into. And already my mind's like, you don't know how that works. Like,
right. That's exactly what you're right. Stuff.
Like, but I
right,
think
that's that would exactly be cool. What your mind is going to do. Right. But just to say it, right. So that may not happen tomorrow or next month, mm-hmm. but it sounds to me like there may be percolating down the road, this vision of this cooperative, like this container, mm-hmm. where people come together and new ideas are born and new products are born, mm-hmm. And new visibility for all of it is born.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm getting like really excited just hearing you say that.
Awesome. Okay, good. So if this were a full coaching session, we would go more into it, but for now we'll leave it at there. So just take a moment and just let your body take it all in. And then last question for right now, what is an important new belief that is going to be really vital for you as you step in to all of this?
I think that there's many things popping up, but the one that I feel like maybe wants to be said right now is just to be patient. Which is not really a belief.
That's okay.
But maybe the belief is that like that it's okay if it takes time.
It's okay if it takes time.
Yeah, it'll be better.
It will be better if it takes. That feels very much in line with the spaciousness to me. Even it will be better if it takes time.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, really well done. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Awesome. So what are you, tell us briefly, what are you taking away from that work? And I want you to write down the belief afterwards when you're done.
You know, I'd had that idea for the cooperative before and like really had just sort of shut it down and like didn't want to think about it because like it just got really complicated in my head really quickly. But it felt really nice just to sort of tune in to the vision and to like to not be encumbered by all the like how is it going to happen for a moment and just feel the feeling. And to recognize that that was so familiar actually, that that sort of was like reminiscent of the spark that got all of this started, and that it's that spark has just gotten so squished, you know, it's moved into other places, but like at least yes. with the products, like it's gotten so smothered.
Yeah, I could feel that when you were talking that you connected back into that spark. Mm-hmm. That's actually like, you know, back to the seasonal work, like that's the maiden, you know, that is that maiden energy, mm-hmm. that springtime energy, right? And our minds often can squash all of that because of that. Of course, we have to get to the how-tos at a certain point. But part of the power of visioning is supporting a client to commit to like make a, I don't know the best way to say, like to make a commitment before they get to the how-tos. Mm-hmm. If the commitment is there, the how-tos can be figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you for volunteering. What did you guys notice, observe, and see for yourselves, practitioner point of view? We're a small group today, so don't be shy. What are you noticing? Kelsey.
I just wanted to comment for myself out loud so I don't forget that the key that I always forget to do is what is the new belief that has to be like that. I do all the visioning and whatever, but like to get her to actually go to the new belief and lock that in is like the magic sauce.
It's important, right? Because, and then, you know, obviously this was very short, 15 yeah. minutes, but you would want to work on it from there and come back to it. And that's very much going to be a part of the strategy and the strategizing from
right.
the vision and the energy management around it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also I just noticed, I always get, so impressed because when you work with someone like Stephanie, because she can go there, you know, it's like, I always have a little bit of fear in the back of my mind that not everybody can vision like she can. So I know there's having that kind of client is really helpful for this kind of thing, like going to her body and, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, number one.
What to do when people say, I don't see anything, I don't feel anything.
Number one, yes. Number two, sometimes people can be trained, right? It kind of can take a little time.
Yeah.
There was something else. Number three, this is just one way of visioning, right? There are many different ways of doing this. I wanted us to kind of take a look at this way today. Yeah. Tammy.
Kind of picking back a little bit on what she was just saying, Kelsey, like when you ask someone to envision something that is really big, typically, like not for people like ourselves, well, even for ourselves, like when we're starting something new, it's big, right? But the body piece, like kind of getting them like to connect to their body and into like a vision will just kind of allow them to kind of cut out the head piece and just kind of get a little bit more directed. So just acknowledging that piece.
Yeah. The moving with the energy or the starting with like, this is the energy that I want this to be. And then letting that feeling and that energy dictate the details. Inval.
I think that it's like that because of my own challenges with visioning and kind of allowing myself to be in that space that, you know, it's like you just did it. It flowed. It was like short and powerful. And so there's a part of me that's like, oh, that wasn't that hard. But I see that, yeah, that's just, it's something that I shy away from. And I think I'm just like not, that I just have this idea that I'm not good at. And I think partly it's that, you know, me and my clients, like, we want to know the how, and I also don't want to be the person that's like, you can manifest anything you want if you just like believe it enough. And that really stops me from maybe holding like, you know, the full spaciousness or like that, like the full, like potential for the client, like 100. That it's like a filter.
Yes. So there are a couple of pieces in this. And by the way, everybody, we cover all these pieces in Sacred Depth. So it is also good sometimes to go back to the recordings. There's a couple of things in here. Number one, when we're visioning with clients, one of the foundational pieces that we want to remember is that most of us were not given either by our parents or culture or because of bias or systemic, whatever, we're not given permission to actually vision, to actually lean into and see what it is that we really want, what would be ideal for us, what we would love, right? So part of our work sometimes with clients is before we even get to like what their vision is or through that process is to support them to build the, give themselves permission to vision, to give themselves permission to vision, right? So that's one important piece. Another important piece here is our own filters, right? Around like what's, and you know, I don't want to be the like, you can, I'm not the, you can manifest anything person either. But sometimes I do have to check my filters because I'm like, there, you definitely can't do that, right? But that just might be my own experience. So we want to check our filters on that. And then once we've checked our filters, the other part of visioning, like all of the work we do with our clients, is for us to be honest, right? So even like, I mean, Stephanie already knew this, I didn't, but you know, but I said like, okay, the co-op isn't going to happen tomorrow or next month, right? Like there's, but, and yet there is still value in that visioning that. Right. And having that as the guiding light and the like, oh, that's what I want to go. Right. And I mean, I happen to believe that Stephanie absolutely can achieve that. But even if she weren't to, or even if that were a little bit out of range, how far could she get? Right. So honesty, 100%, right, in the delivery and then what the client thinks their truth is. So yes to all those things. Good. And I saw your hand up for a sec. Did you want to say something?
It's already been said.
Okay. Got it. Penny.
Yeah, hi. It's also like I find that two things. One, if people are really resistant to because they've been so trained not to have a vision, I sometimes will ask, well, if your best friend were to tell me what they thought you would be really interested in, what might that be? Kind of a my friend John technique from Ericksonian hypnosis, but because it frees them up not, it kind of undoes some of the, I'm on the spotlight and I can't say this, I can't even own it. But right. If we make it a little removed, then they can see it and then they can start to own it a little bit more.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That's a great little, that's not even little, that's a great trick. Thank you for sharing that. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's just, it's really cool. And then to, you know, be able to allow people, also people I think get caught up from like the secret and stuff like that with like, if I'm visioning all this and next year I'm going to make $300 million. Well, that's just out of the realm of my reality, right? It's not even close. I find like it's much better to find the visions that are definitely our stretch and beyond where we are and will take us to even bigger things, but that there's an actual bridge. There's an actual 100, way.
Right, 100. Yeah. Because after that, then there's strategizing, visioning. And this is the other thing I want to remind everybody of. Visioning and strategizing go hand in hand. You don't want to have one. Now you may not get to it all in one session. It might carry on to the next, but you do not want to do visioning without doing some strategizing as well. So that's one piece. Another piece, hold on. What was I going to say? Okay. What's so far out? Although I do want to share with all of you, I once did an exercise with one of my masterminds in retreat. This was magical. I did this whole exercise around where do you think you want to be in 3 years? And we did this whole visioning exercise around where they wanted to be in 3 years. And then I totally took them off guard. And I forget exactly what the series of questioning was, but I was like, okay, so what would need to happen if you wanted to make that happen in 1 year? And they all got like pissed and annoyed and victimized and all the things. But I will tell you that many of them got to that goal in that year, right? And I more fall on the other side. You guys all know I'm a negative person, but there is some value, you know, to the like holding the space, right? Within reason, realistic, all of that, and then working through it. Involved when I was saying those words to you, that's the exact phrase I was thinking of. And I was like, oh, that's not, but it sounds like that. So yes. And Penny, can you just repeat that first, your friend question involves asking?
Yeah. So I'll ask people that if they don't, if they're having a hard time coming up with visioning, if I were to talk with their best friend, what would their best friend tell me about where their vision is, what their heart's desire is, what they'd really like to create?
Awesome. Thank you. And
yeah. So sort of connected some dots from a client session I had last night. It's connecting some dots here. So this particular client has a core value of efficiency and effectiveness. In her words, I just hate fucking around, right? And we were doing some visioning and she got stuck because she started to go into the place in her mind that said, you don't get to vision this unless you have the entire plan thought out already. And so we kind of paused and then she said, you know, there's all this anxiety about not being able to think of everything and plan for everything. And I'm like, yeah, I know something about that in my own life. And so we kind of put a pause on it and shifted a little bit, not quite into full befriend your fear, but like, well, let's look at that. And let's look at, is that real? And looked at how that's actually a misperception, a gross misperception of the amount of control that she has. And said, all right, the strategy comes after. But right now, you can't, because a realization I've been having in the last week is that the clearer that I am about what I want, the faster it can show up. And so if I try to figure out how it's going to show up before I'm clear about what I want to show up, it just gets muddy. And so being able to draw the line and say, this is the time for dreaming it.
Yes.
This is the time for sinking into, if you could have anything,
yes,
what would you want? And then we had a conversation about, you know, kind of the idea, and this has been coming up for me a lot this last week too. So of course it's coming up for my clients because that's how it goes, that, you know, you get clear about what you want and you put that out to the universe, the divine, to, you know, whatever, so that it can start to deliver the opportunities. But then you choose your first strategic step to show the universe, I'm serious about investing energy in this new vision. And nowhere in that does it say, like, you take step A, the universe is working back from step Z, mm-hmm. but nothing says that you have to figure out everything from B forward.
No, and it's actually a strategizing mistake to try to do that with clients or with ourselves, because that's a recipe for getting overwhelmed mm-hmm. in a second and then doing nothing, right? Or going crazy, right? So yes to everything that you're saying. And then back to what we were saying before, like the how-to in the visioning process, the how-to is the ego's way of sabotaging the visioning process. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have to get to the how-tos for sure. But 9 times out of 10, the thought of how to is going to squash the desire and the vision. And so we really want to hold that for our client, be aware of that when we're working with clients.
Yep. And with that visioning process, I ate my peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then I was like mentally a little bit in and out. So it may have missed it, but there's this piece where so like when you're really in it, and I think I heard you do this with Stephanie, like what does it feel like when you're in that? And then using that, like, you know, when you're tuned into that radio station and it's clear and without static, so that as you're going through the strategy steps later, you can hear, you can feel, you can see, is that aligned with the vision that I created? Or does it feel like it's coming from, you know, the side of I have to have all of my ducks in a row or it doesn't work? You know, can you listen for where your vision is wanting to call you forward? You know, and what are you listening for? And I've been enjoying kind of sinking into that more with my clients this week than I had for a while. And it seems like they've all been sort of like ready for it in a new way. Now there's something has shifted in the ethers. So
agree. Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Stephanie.
Yeah. A couple of things are coming up for me. First of all, what Anne was just sharing, like, and then you sharing that it's like a strategizing mistake to try to figure out all the steps, like realizing that I think I've been attempting to do this with clients. I feel like one of the ways I was taught to strategize is like you figure out your goal and that's your destination. And then you like work backwards from there to like figure out what needs to happen in order for that to happen. And then you've got like this whole roadmap planned out. So I've done that with myself and with others. And like oftentimes it doesn't really work. And now I'm seeing why, and it feels really obvious.
Yeah. So it's like, it depends on how big and far out the goal is, number one, right? If it's like short-term goal, mm-hmm. like launch this program in 8 weeks, okay. That actually works really well, right? But if it's a longer term goal, then at least what I have found, and I'd love to hear it other people, is like you want a kind of a generalized sense of, you know, some of those steps that bridge there, but then you want to pick a marker that's much closer and get more detailed on that close marker. So the difference between a vision and a goal, and we want to vision our goals too, so I hope I'm not confusing everybody, but it's the difference between a vision and a goal.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Is the difference between a vision and a goal?
Good question. Who wants to answer that? What's the difference between a vision and a goal? You can just take yourself off mute.
A vision feels much bigger and broader, like, and many components, and a goal is often a little more concrete and specific for me.
Yeah. So vision much broader, goal sooner, concrete. Anne, did you want to say something?
Yeah, as I'm crunching my apple chips. I relate to it like the vision is the larger basket that all goes in. And then the goals are, like Penny said, they're the concrete, they're the measurable steps that we can see we need to hit along the way to fulfilling the vision that can have action steps and plans put into place with it and that have a measurable result associated with it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, both of you beautifully said. And Ball, is that clear?
I had another thing.
Yeah, and then I was going to say, did I cut you off, Stephanie? Go ahead.
It's all good. I'm glad that was clarified. Yeah, the other thing, which, you know, relating to visions, and you mentioned something about like the 3-year plan or whatnot. I found, especially in this past year, asking clients to vision has felt particularly difficult. And they have a lot of awareness around it. And I do too. It's like, we don't even know what like 2 months from now is going to look like. Like, how can we possibly vision larger? And I haven't really known what to do with that, because I'm like, yeah, like that's true. And I feel like there's still like, we can, yeah, I just haven't known how to handle that and to honor where they're at, but still sort of like ask them to stretch, you know?
Yeah, it's such a good point. And just to be clear, I don't have a 3-year plan. Sometimes I have a 1-year plan, but most of the time it's not even. I just want to be really clear. Not to say that that's the only way to do things, but I just want to be clear, lest anyone think you need a 3-year plan or anything like that. For that exercise, it was like, dream in, you know, it was like really for that sake of visioning. Yeah. And then bringing it closer. But you're right, like we've been through a year, like a tunnel this year, you know, like a very dark, mysterious tunnel. I know that there is something outside, you know, beyond the tunnel, and some people have been able to see all the things. And then for others, it's like, no, it's darkness. I know that, right? And so the word that you used, honoring that, right? And then back to the seasonal work, not every moment is a moment for visioning. Mm-hmm. Not every moment is a moment for visioning, right? Like, not, you know, visioning can absolutely happen in the winter, but it happens in the late winter. The beginning of winter is like, let me release what I need to finish releasing what I need to release. And what the fuck is happening right now? Like, let me grieve. Let me like find the ground beneath my feet. Let me, right? Like whatever it is. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and that's it. Why it's important for us to have a sense of where on the wheel our clients are, yeah, in moments. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
you. Yeah. And saying, and noticing that people are more likely to make bad choices in visioning if they're trying to force themselves out of the darkness.
Mm. Yeah. 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 Thanks for that reminder. I feel like there was a part of me that still felt like I was failing them in some way. Like, I need to help them find the light, but like, yeah, no.
Like, they'll get there. What you need to help them through is the mystery right now, right? And doing the mystery in the best way possible for them. And there might be little visions, right? Like in a dark tunnel, we can see like 6 inches ahead of us or 2 feet ahead of us, right? Like those next step goals, right? So you can do that kind of visioning for sure, right?
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. In Ball.
You know, I was thinking, I raised my hand, you know, I wonder if there's anything kind of to share around kind of like pre-steps to visioning. Hmm. So like, I just started with this client, I think I shared, I mean, she's a single mom of twins who are 9 months. So it's just like so much work. And so it's like, I don't even know if like she's in like a space to vision, like literally what we were, you know, because it's like she's trying to figure out how to get an extra 2 hours in the week just for self-care, and then maybe another like to meal plan.
Yeah,
you know, so it's, yeah, so thinking about that, and also what Kelsey said, you know, like how can, you know, what could be like prerequisites for, you know, for visioning.
Such a great question. I love it. So the way, and again, everybody should go back to Sacred Depths. So the way that we look at it in Sacred Depths is, what is the environment that is, you know, and always each person is different, right? So for each particular client, what is the environment that is really going to support them to be able to vision, as well as to put their vision into place? Usually there's some crossover between the two, right? So even in just what you briefly described about your client, what I would guess without, you know, just a little bit that you're talking about is like, so one of her prerequisites is having some space in her life. One of her prerequisites may be like a different kind of childcare than she has right now. One of her prerequisites may be if she's not sleeping very well right now, right? So, and that can be really valuable to support a client in, to like lay down the foundations to be able to vision. And again, those are probably the same foundations that are going to support the client in executing the vision once they have it as well. And it may even be that that's the like interim vision, you know, the prerequisites are the interim vision in a way.
Yeah, because it's also like for people who struggle to get into the vision during an enrollment conversation, that sometimes it's like, okay, well, one of the things will work. So one that is makes it harder to have the conversion. But sometimes I'm like, yeah, part of the issue is that you don't have a vision.
And well, that's right, one of and the
things we'll work on.
That's right. You can bridge that out in the enrollment conversation, right? And speak to how you can support them to get to that place of being ready to vision and why that's awesome, you know, to get to that place. Good. Tammy.
I was just thinking about, you know, Imbal's client, just because working with moms, you're just an overwhelm, right? And I feel like COVID has brought that to everybody. And this idea of like not being able to get to envision, getting to the vision state, but I feel like just bringing them to a rest state, to like a state where they can just be, is really the groundwork, right? Like they have to get there, and that is part of the vision, right? Like just finding their body, finding out where, like, again, I think it relates to people in COVID in general, is like, how can we just kind of be here and not stress about everything, right, that's going on, because of so much chatter, especially as a mom, there's like chatter to begin with, and then there's chatter around. So I don't know, I'm just thinking about like just starting with basic, like when I help people ground in their body, the vision comes, I feel like people vision anyway there. So just starting there, you know.
I'm so glad you're bringing this in. It's important. Like it is important, right? And for those of you that are in advanced, I think I shared about this a couple of weeks ago at our retreat. Increasingly over the last year or two, I really believe that part of my job as a practitioner and a coach is like not just to do the deep work or the surface work, you know, like all of that, but that supporting a client in being as regulated as possible goes hand in hand with all of that work. That is something that I'm just paying attention to more and more and more. But as Tammy says, regulation, I mean, you say it in these words, but I think that's what you're talking about. Regulation supports visioning. Regulation supports strategizing, right? Like all the execution, all the things, right? So we want to really be mindful of that too. Penny.
It just always brings me too to the holding the paradox of things as both, rather than people like to often flow into that it has to be one way or the other. So for me, it's one of the themes around this is the dance of control and surrender. And just being in that space of knowing that sometimes you just have to let go and be in the mystery. And at the same time, you want to be able to have visions and dreams of where you want to go and not lose that completely. So, you know, and I think this year has been a great one for teaching that in a lot of ways, you know.
100%. It's such a, I'm so glad you're bringing this in. And I think that this is important in general, like in our lives and our work as practitioners, this concept of the paradox. So one of my problems with the coaching industry is that it wants to boil everything down to like simplistic things, like it's this or that, right? And in the world today, like there's just no freaking nuance in anything. And it is such a disservice to us and to our clients when we don't hold the paradoxes, right? It's similar to binary thinking, but a little bit different. It's like holding the two together, right? This is both possible and also feeling not possible. This is easy and this is hard. There are rights and there are wrongs, you know, like all the things. And I think it's so valuable for ourselves, but for our clients, when we as practitioners can hold the paradox and remind them of the paradox, whatever it is that we're looking at. Great. Yeah, the oversimplification right now and everything is out of control. Any other thoughts, words wanna be shared? Michelle, I feel like I wanna hear your voice. What are you taking? What are you seeing?
Sorry, my mouse always goes over to the other screen instead of the one that I'm on when I'm trying to unmute. You know, what you were just saying though, just reminded me, I sort of have a joke with my coach and I'll say, yeah, just give me the 5 easy steps, because I know that there really are no 5 easy steps, but yet I sort of think that, you know, we are looking for solutions, and if we could get those solutions in that, you know, it kind of goes back to just doing the work. And, you know, it would be much nicer perhaps to just be given that information and somebody to walk you through it. But the problem with that is that then that's their vision and not yours.
Yes.
Which is why, like, I do enjoy the visioning in this exercise and working with people on that. I've worked with way too many people who have, you know, come to me after the fact and said, you know, this is what I wanted. This is what I have. I have no idea how I got to this. No. And they were looking outside, not inside, for really what they were looking for. So I appreciate this work. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. The 5 steps can be valuable sometimes, like as a starting point, maybe, but always needing adaptation from the client.
I usually do it in a snarky way because I don't want to do the work at that moment.
Totally.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Right. No. It's funny because we were just talking about this in Sacred Power in the context of clients having agency, like their own agency. And what does that mean? And how as practitioners, without even realizing it, we kind of limit agency by giving answers. All right, good. Well, I had planned for us to do practice, but I feel like the conversation has been really valuable. Any other last thoughts or ideas? And then I have something I forgot to ask you all in the beginning. I need to ask you all, but any other last thoughts or ideas? Nope. Okay. You're going to all hear me ask you these things a couple times over the next few weeks. Which is not easy, but I'm doing it. I need your help. On 2 accounts, if you can. One is I've got some spots open in the next cycle of advanced, If you know any practitioners that are experienced only, that they don't need to like know everything that we know, that you know we've gone through sacred depths, but they somewhat, you know, are a little bit trauma informed, you know, they kind of know what they're doing, I'd be so appreciative if you let them know. And also the next round of sacred depths is starting in the middle of July. And so if you know anybody that would be a good match, if you know anybody that would like to be at Art of Client Transformation, I'm happy to have them as your guest for free. But please, anyone that you know of, if you could spread the word, I would be so, so appreciative. Yeah. And of course, if you want to be at Art of Client Transformation, let me know. There is a spot there waiting for you. All right.
Joanne, I'm so glad you just said that again, because I just thought of someone and I will email her. And, you know, I need to hear it four times before the first time comes to mind. So thanks for,
yeah,
I have someone now.
You're so welcome. And that makes me feel better for continuing to make the request. So.
And also the reminder that they can go as my guest. Like I can say, hey, you can go to this for free. The Art of Client Transformation.
Yeah, I'll pop the link that you can just give them, or you can fill it out for them just so long as they know, and you can just put their email address in and then they'll get they'll have a spot in it. Thank you. Awesome. I am thinking about all of you, sending you lots of love. We don't have a call next week. I had to go to New Jersey and I didn't know until a few weeks ago. So you should have all gotten, we've rescheduled it for whenever it's rescheduled, but just as a reminder. All right. Sending you all a big hug. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Bye, Joanna.